The Big Scary Show is brought to you in part by Dark Imaginings, web design, creepy changing portraits, and much, much more. DarkImaginings.com.
For the deepest, darkest creeps, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious, it's time. Big Scary
Show. Hey, this is Larry Kirshner from HauntWorld.com and the Darkness Haunted House Tour, and you're listening to the biggest, the scariest, the Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Dave from Paranoia Haunted House, and you are listening to the Big Scary Show.
This is TJ Jenkins with Reaper's Ram Haunted House and Trail from China Grove, North Carolina, here with the Big Scary Show.
Hello, creeps. It's me, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to the Big Scary Show, the top podcast in the industry.
This is Kathy Schieferstein of the Midwest Haunters Convention, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Katie Lane, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
This is Cale Hamel from Wichita, Kansas, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
This is Laura Dark from Laura Dark Photography, and this is The Big Scary Show.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
Love is in the air. Oh, hi. It's me, Cupid. Valentine's Day was this past week, and the Big Scary Show didn't forget, so they got some love for you in the form of an interview with Reaper's Realm during their Valentine's Day event. Badger also takes a trip down to Atlanta for Days of the Dead and talks with the guys at Paranoia Haunt. Now, who can be paranoid about love? Moving on, the boys bring you their signature segments, including Badger's Dead Love, I Mean Deadline News. Storm rants on as only he can in a haunt minute. Maybe it's about love. Badger brings us the latest gruesome giveaway winner. Think maybe it's a bow with some heart-shaped arrows. And Meat Hook Jim brings you a new segment of his ever-evolving segments called Between the Corpses. And on this segment, he takes you into the behind the scenes of the Big Scary Show. And we can't forget the Round Table of Terror. On this episode, we get all kinds of love from Larry Kirchner as he talks about the darkness, creepy world, the Limp Brewery, and trans world. Veister brings us his heavy metal love in Veister's Haunted Vista. And the Haunstrumentalist, Jerry Vane, spins the spooky, unfortunately not love, tunes. You'll find all this and so much more on this love-filled edition of the Big Scary... Hey, wait. Put my bow and arrow down. No. Put it down.
Hi guys, Meat Hook Jim here. I told you I'd get that little bastard.
Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show is back March 20th through 25th, 2018 in St. Louis. Bigger than ever with its very first pre-convention haunted house tour. That's right, you heard that correctly, a pre-convention haunted house tour. A new Friday night themed party, the second annual Witches and Warlocks Saturday Night Ball, and an even larger show floor and more seminars. For more information and to register for the biggest show yet, go to www.haashow.com. See you in St. Louis.
Hello, everyone. Drew Badger. We are live here at Reaper's Realm Haunted House and Trail in China Grove, North Carolina, not too far off I-85, south of Salisbury, north of Charlotte. Google map it. You'll find it. Kind of hard to get to, but man, this place is great. Creepy buildings, all sorts of neat stuff, monsters running around here. They've got a Valentine's Day event going on here. I got TJ Jenkins, the owner. TJ, how you doing, man?
Fine. Glad you come out to see us.
Oh, man, it's a cold, crisp February day. Perfect time to go to a haunt. Tell us about your My Bloody Valentine Blackout event that you've got going on.
We have a blackout event going on February 9th, 10th, 16th, and 17th. Glow stick only. All lights will be turned out in the haunted house, barn. You get one glow stick per group. We provide the glow stick. It's a $10 cover to go through. We have about 50 monsters working. Come on out and check us out.
How long have you been doing this?
This is our first annual Bloody Valentine. Reaper's Realm has been open for over 8 years in this particular place. We just decided to do something different off the normal beaten path, so we decided to do a Bloody Valentine.
Very nice, and you know, that seems to be a trend. A lot of haunts are doing off-season events, especially ones with permanent structures, as yours seems to be. If it's not, damn, that's a great facade. But you know, somebody's going to do a Christmas haunt, a Valentine's Day haunt, St. Patrick's Day. You know, Storm's still looking for that elusive Arbor Day haunt out there. But, you know, how has it been received? Did you do any pre-sale tickets? Did you get good numbers? You got a good crowd out here kind of standing around the fire. I'm assuming it's time ticketing or you're going in like that. How's it been so far?
We posted it and had, I think, over 50,000 views in about 36 hours.
Wow.
It seems like it's going to be, this is our first night. We just opened a few hours ago. So time will tell. I think we're going to have good reviews and good output of it.
It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. As I said, you know, there's people standing around. You can hear screams off in the darkness in the woods, wherever they're coming from. Good gracious. Reaper's Realm's been here 8 years, working on their ninth season upcoming. What have you got to thrill, chill, and cause violent projectile expulsions out of various body orifices for the 2018 Halloween season?
We have a new asylum coming this coming year, and we're adding to our slaughterhouse, another building to our slaughterhouse, and we've got another whole standalone haunted house, the haunted asylum. It'll be the Asylum on the Hill, and we're going to be mostly staffed with ladies in there, crazy, crazy ladies that's been with us for years. So
a bunch of my exes, it sounds like.
Yes, yes. We have quite a few that could pass for insane asylum patients, everyday life. So we're going to have the Saint Asylum, and we're also putting in a new mine shaft, which will be actually in the ground. You'll have about 200 feet to walk actually in the underground.
Underground haunts are so vastly underutilized, but man, walking 200 feet underground, that sounds a lot of fun. So for people who obviously can't make it this time, because by the time this airs, the Valentine's Day will be over, are you doing a St. Patrick's Day? Are you doing another off season? And if so, how can people get information if they're traveling I-85 between Greensboro, Winston-Salem, and Charlotte, and they want to pop in for a haunted house adventure? What are the websites, social media, where people can get more information?
You can go to reapersrealmnc.com. Everything will be posted on there. You can look us up also on Facebook, Reapers Realm Haunted House on Facebook. And, yes, we are doing a St. Patrick's Day event March the 16th and 17th. We'll have a beer garden. We have a local brewery coming in. We're doing a grease pig contest on Friday night.
You've got to elaborate more on a grease pig contest.
One of my main characters is Johnny Hogg. If you check out our videos on Facebook, he's on there talking. He's a big personality. Him and his brother Porkchop will be running the grease pig contest. It'll be a $150 prize.
Oh my.
We're going to also Saturday night do a demolition derby. So it'll be a gate fee to get into that. And we will be posting those numbers soon. But the haunted house will actually be open with a leprechaun theme. We have quite a few small clowns around here that are going to kind of convert to leprechauns for the season.
Sounds like it's going to be a blast. Once again, ReapersRealmNC.com. Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, TJ Jenkins, I want to take the time to say thank you for coming on the Big Scary Show here. My daughter and I are looking forward to Blackout here in China Grove, North Carolina at Reaper's Realm. My first time attending this. Should be interesting. My name is Drew Badger for the Big Scary Show, and we are out.
Buried alive in each man is a strange, depraved creature that turns the soul into a battleground of sin and violence, turning life into an inferno. In Dr. Henry Jekyll was this knowledge. Perhaps it was his quiet ways, his unloving wife, his simple, homely face that drove him to unleash this inner presence. This was Jekyll's inferno. Dr. Jekyll gave life to the unspeakable evil of Mr. Hyde. Rich, handsome, decadent Mr. Hyde erupted to spew adultery, viciousness, murder in the greatest macabre spectacle of all time. American International Pictures presents a fascinating new Dr. Jekyll, a terrifying new Mr. Hyde, Robert Louis Stevenson's study in terrifying evil, Jekyll's Inferno. In color and megascope.
Twisted Graves. I wish my girlfriend was a zombie. On the Big Scary Show.
Your friend's always nagging at me. Oh, it's never happy. Right, your words don't mean a thing to me. I wish my girlfriend was a zombie. Wish my girlfriend was. I wish my girlfriend was a zombie. Wish my girlfriend was. I wish my girlfriend was a zombie. I know she wouldn't use me for my money, but all she cares about. Zombie. I wish my girlfriend was. I wish my girlfriend was a zombie. I wish my girlfriend was. I wish my girlfriend was a zombie.
Afraid this haunt season? Afraid of long lines of dissatisfied customers just at your ticket booth? Afraid of all the processing fees and hassle with credit cards? Are you afraid to make that jump into online ticketing? Well, take the leap. Ticket Leap. Ticket Leap will give you online options for your customer. Beautiful event pages to give every single ticketing option you have now and loads of possibility. Smart tools to spread the word, engage with your customers, and connect to social media with great, simple payment processing and the friendly customer support to go with it. Do things you haven't dreamed of. Hey, what's a selfie ticket? Check out TicketLeap.com. They're going to show you what to do. And no haunt's too big or too small for them to process. You're going to have a beautiful event page, even if you have a home haunt. Hey, they have options for free events that you may have. And what better way to collect donations for a community? Tickets under $5, the fee is only 25 cents. Find out what TicketLeap has to offer to you. TicketLeap.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is time for Deadline News here on The Big Scary Show with your host, me, Drew Badger, bringing you all the latest in the haunted house, Halloween, and horror industries. Hello everyone, Drew Badger here. This is Deadline News for episode 152, and we're going to start off by bringing you an announcement from the legendary Haunt Tour. Make your plans now and join us as we journey west this November 9th through the 10th, 2018, and experience two world-class, state-of-the-art, multi-elemental haunted attractions. This year's legendary Haunt Tour is going to, drumroll please, Salt Lake City, Utah, to visit Nightmare on 13th and SLC's Fear Factory. To stay up to date, be sure to like them on Facebook at facebook.com/legendaryhaunttour, follow them on Twitter at legendaryhaunttour, and check out legendaryhaunttour.com for all the information over the next weeks and months as the Legendary Haunt Tour heads west to Salt Lake City. We have this news from Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights via WBLZmedia.com. Halloween Horror Nights will be here before you know it. As rumors fly about the list of houses, one IP that's gained a lot of attention is Stranger Things. Teased at the end of Halloween Horror Nights 27, we could be getting something related to the Netflix show for number 28. Is it time the world takes a real visit into the Upside Down? A World of Stranger Things sets it up well for a themed house. It might be a little more sci-fi, though, than horror. That won't stop anyone from visiting the house at Halloween Horror Nights 28. In fact, if this house is put through, expect lines for it to be astronomical. It's likely a Stranger Things house would use scenes from both seasons. You'd see the buyer's home, all decked out with a light wall or drawings. This would be the beginning part of the maze, as it usually gives the eeriest feel of the entire show. Traveling to the Upside Down would be an experience. It would be pretty surreal to walk through the lab and into the giant pathway 11 created. In addition, walking through the tunnels underground that were put there by the little Demogorgon Will coughed up at the end of Season 1. Should Universal Studios add Stranger Things, the scare actors would be Demogorgons as they chase you from room to room. There'd also be minor cameos from Will, Lucas, Dustin, Mike, 11, and Hopper, just to lighten up the mood a bit. Ideally, you'd find Hopper in the Upside Down or underground tunnels, as he's been in both before. Fans want a Stranger Things house. This, along with It, might be the most anticipated house at Halloween Horror Nights in history. Netflix has such a following with this show, and for those who haven't seen it, perhaps walking through this maze will get you to binge the first two seasons. Both Orlando and Los Angeles Universal Studio Parks need a Stranger Things house. It would be the biggest money maker they would have possibly in the history of the event. Fans would come from all over to witness this event firsthand and get a feel for what the Upside Down might actually be like. Universal always gives fans a good time at Halloween Horror Nights. Stranger Things, if it's what the public wants, it's up to the Halloween Horror Nights creators to make this happen. And of course, if it does happen, you'll hear about it here on The Big Scary Show. We have this news from one of the vendors at Transworld, Haunters Against Hate. Haunters Against Hate takes a stand in opposition to such speech, and more importantly, in support of our LGBTQ actors, staff, friends, and family. Haunters Against Hate stands by, always watching for hate speech or discrimination against anyone on basis of race, color, gender, national origin, age, religion, creed, disability, veteran status, sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression, and responding appropriately, because hate is the scariest thing of all. Haunters Against Hate has announced that it is going to donate its proceeds from the sale of t-shirts and art raffles at Transworld to go to supporting the St. Louis effort for AIDS. Check out their Facebook page or stlefa.org. That's the St. Louis effort for AIDS. And you can get more information regarding Haunters Against Hate or visit them at Transworld by going to hauntersagainsthate.com. We have a little news from Fear the Walking Dead via BloodyDisgusting.com. The fourth season of AMC's Fear the Walking Dead will arrive on Sunday, April 15th, and Hap and Leonard star Evan Gamble has just joined in a recurring role via Deadline.com. Gamble will play Ennis, a rough-around-the-edges type who only really cares about himself. In Season 4, we'll see the world of Madison Clark and her family through new eyes, the eyes of Morgan Jones, joining the story from the world of The Walking Dead. The character's immediate past mixes with an uncertain present of struggle and discovery as they meet new friends, foes, and threats. They fight for each other, against each other, and against a legion of the dead to somehow build an existence against the crushing pressure of their lives coming apart. There will be darkness and light, terror and grace, the heroic, mercenary, and craven all crashing together towards a new reality. Kim Dickens, Frank Delane, Elisa Debham Carey, Colmo Domingo, and Danae Garcia are all back for Fear the Walking Dead Season 4. We have this news from Days of the Dead, coming to Charlotte, North Carolina. It is with great pleasure that we announce the addition of actress and cultural icon Cassandra Peterson to the guest roster for Days of the Dead Charlotte, happening May 18th through the 20th at the Sheraton Charlotte Hotel. One of the most recognizable women in pop culture over the past four decades, Cassandra is best known for her alter ego, horror hostess, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. A personality that has appeared on countless media and memorabilia, including comic books, costumes, dolls, calendars, even her own pinball machine. Cassandra starred in Elvira's own namesake movie in 1988, as well as the sequel, Elvira's Haunted Hills, in 2001. Elvira was the subject of her own coffee table book released in 2016, celebrating her iconic career with over 350 photographs, many never before published. Cassandra Peterson joins previously announced guests C.J. Graham, Tony Todd, Dee Snider, Heather Langenkamp, Linnea Quigley, and many, many more to be announced for Days of the Dead's debut in the Carolinas. Tickets for Days of the Dead Charlotte will be on sale at daysofthedead.com. We have a little book news regarding a new book regarding A Nightmare on Elm Street via PromoteHorror.com. The book is called Behind the Screams, A Nightmare on Elm Street 4 Revealed, and it contains tales from the making of the film that have never been shared with the public. It's being co-written by author Blake Best and Mick Strawn, who was a production designer on Nightmares 3 through 5, as well as the Freddy's Nightmares TV series. They're planning to release it in August to coincide with the 30th anniversary of the film. Blake and Mick have been guests at several horror conventions around the country and made their announcement about the book right before Christmas. It's gone viral on social media, including Facebook, and as a result, copies of Blake's first book, The Within, and the Freddy Krueger origin novel, Razor's Edge, are selling for over $2,000 a copy. Both of them were inducted into the Hall of Horror in Las Vegas in October of 2016 for their contributions to the A Nightmare on Elm Street mythology. Get more information on social media, including facebook.com/BlakeBestHorror, facebook.com/ShreddyKruger1428, or Instagram at Elm Street's Last Brat. And finally, we have a little news regarding the new Devil's Rejects movie via BloodyDisgusting.com. We gave you an early Halloween treat when we broke the news that Rob Zombie is preparing to shoot a follow-up to his Devil's Rejects, his sequel to House of a Thousand Corpses, that followed the murderous Backwoods Firefly family as they hit the road in an attempt to escape a vengeful police force. Now sources tell Bloody Disgusting that Zombie is targeting a March shoot for the next installment, rumored to be titled The Devil's Rejects 2, 3 from Hell. Currently unconfirmed, the title offers a possible explanation as to how the Firefly family returns home from the grave. The Devil's Rejects, arguably Zombie's best film, ended in a hail of bullets that gave homage to Bonnie and Clyde. In the scene, Captain Spaulding, played by Sid Haig, Otis, played by Bill Moseley, and Baby, played by Sherry Moon Zombie, drive directly into a shootout that ends all of their lives. Before Jason Lives, Jason Voorhees was human. So is it possible that Three from Hell implies that the film will take a supernatural U-turn? In addition, we're hearing that Zombie is in in negotiations with Saban Films and Lionsgate to release the sequel in theaters, VOD, and home video. Zombie distributed his Crowdsource 31 through both companies, which is why this deal makes a whole lot of sense. Until we can get further confirmation, though, please take the above information as mere speculation. As always, we'll continue to dig this up and hope to get you official news before shooting begins this coming spring. Remember, folks, if you have news in the haunted house, Halloween, or horror industries, and you want it on the show, email it to us, news@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get it on the show. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Want to take your haunt to a new dimension of terror? Then let Dark Imaginings conjure up some ghoulish graphics and web design services for your home, haunt, or crypt. Since 2007, professional and home haunters alike have trusted our award-winning and dedicated skeleton crew to make their nightmares come true. Whether you need graphic design services, logos, websites, spooky visuals, or creepy changing portraits, we can help your business look its scary best. To see more of our products and services, drop by darkimaginings.com. Let us help you get ahead of your competition.
And ladies and gentlemen, let's find out if you were listening to the last show and if we have a winner for the February edition of the Gruesome Giveaway, sponsored by our very good friends at ScreamlineStudios.com. Be sure to check them out, browse through their catalog, or if you listen to our show regularly, you could win a prize, just like this random caller that we selected from last show. This person sent us an entry. We picked him randomly. We have him on the line. Random caller, what is your name? Where are you located?
My name is Roger Davis from Waxahachie, Texas.
Waxahachie, Texas. That's near Dallas, right?
Yes, sir. We're just south of Dallas.
Oh, excellent. Okay. I was down at the Halloween Haunt Fest show last August, and there were a couple of haunts down that way, Screams and Reindeer Manor and a couple of others down that way, so cool. So, anyway, Roger, glad to have you on the show here. You know how this works. I'm going to ask you a question in just a second to see if you know the answer to it. I do need to get a couple of legal questions out of the way here. Question number one, did we contact you in any way, shape, or form other than to tell you when to call in?
No.
Excellent. Question number two, did you try to influence us in any way, shape, or form? Bribery or suspicious emails or anything trying to get us to pick you?
No.
All right. All right, Roger Davis of Waxahachie, Texas. God, that's fun to say. Waxahachie. I believe the question in the last show was, what special traits did Near Dark bring to vampire folklore? And there could be more than one answer. We'll only need one.
But let's see. They can spit out bullets.
That is absolutely correct. They spit out bullets. They're immune to religious or gothic symbolism, and they can be cured by transfusions. Those are three of the answers there, but you got one. You only needed one. So congratulations to Roger Davis of Waxahachie, Texas. You are the February Gruesome Giveaway winner.
Thank you.
Roger, you work for a haunt, you own a haunt, you do a home display, anything like that?
I do work for a haunt. It's the Reindeer Manor in Red Oak, Texas.
Oh, nice. I hear good things about it, have never been, hopefully one of those days. That's Alex Lomans, is it not?
Yes, yeah, he's one of the owners, yes.
So give him a plug. Do you know their website?
I believe it's reindeermanor.com, and it's right in Red Oak, Texas. Alex and Jennifer Loman own it. It's a great haunt. I love working there.
Oh, fantastic. How many years you been there?
Just two so far. I will be there my third year this year, though.
Okay, All right. Well, congratulations, Roger Davis of Waxahachie, Texas. If you stay on the line for just a second, we'll get some shipping information to you. And again, folks, if you didn't win this time, we're going to have another question for you for the March Gruesome Giveaway. Be sure to be listening for that. Be sure to enter, and you can be a winner, just like Roger Davis here, only on the Big Scary Show's Gruesome Giveaway, sponsored by Screamline Studios. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
All right, so let's talk announcers. Yeah, announcing and announcers. You know, it's Olympic season, yay, where the whole world unites except for Russia, and, you know, these are places where they don't have winter, you know, that type of thing. So, my favorite announcers with Olympics, and I hate most of them, they are just awful, 99% of them, but for figure skating, again, a sport I'm not really that big into, figure skating, okay, but Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir are fantastic. It is the greatest thing to listen to. They improve the quality of something I would normally completely be uninterested in, and they make it fantastic. The opening night, this is even before the opening ceremonies, the first night of figure skating, they're there, and they look like they're about to host the Hunger Games. Swear to God, sequence outfits, you know, Johnny Ware is wearing a pretty much red ringmaster jacket with sequins and a pompadour haircut, and, you know, Tara Lipinski's wearing a sequins dress and her hair is all up to it, but, I mean, seriously, it's great. You'd think it is something out of the Hunger Games. They have dazzled microphones and headsets and stuff. It is fantastic. No one can touch them at the Olympics. And what's great, too, is because they actually even know what they're talking about, but they will destroy people if they need to. They will give you the real sense in a sassy, professional, fantastic manner. I mean, it is great. They will explain to you why this person falling on their ass probably got them more points than if they only did a smaller jump. I mean, stuff I wouldn't know about ice skating and don't care about, frankly, but they make it interesting. And it is great. There is nothing better than them go, oh, he's ruined his entire competition for the rest of it. This is weighing on him for all these other parts. It is great. Johnny Ware's fantastic because he has that sassy realness to him where he's telling you, oh, well, through her career, she under-rotates her skating. So pretty much your mind translated as, bitch can't skate. Fantastic! They need more of that. And they did try. They got Bodie Miller, like, trying to do the downhill, and he's awful. He's the most unenthusiastic person that's out there. So it got me to wondering, why doesn't Haunting have announcers? And if we did, who would be announcing, and how would it sound? So I present to you, the listeners of the Big Scary Show, a challenge. Yes, a challenge. We'll take a crack at haunt announcing. How fun could that be? So, you know, your haunts, your favorite haunt clips, find them on YouTube, email them in, give us the information, what the haunt is and stuff, who you are, what part of the clip you want us to take a look at, and hey, maybe the Big Scary Show will take a crack at haunt announcing. How fantastic would that be? Oh, Badger here, and oh, there's a scary clown coming down the hallway. Ooh, I mean, seriously. The potential here is amazing. So jump on that. Send us your clips. Send them to me, storm@bigscaryshow.com. That's the email. Send it out there. Just links and times and who you are and all kinds of fun stuff. We're going to have fun with this thing. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinion on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter @BigScaryStorm.
Hi, this is Josh Gates from Travel Channel's Expedition Unknown, reminding you to send all hate mail to storm@bigscaryshow.com.
Are bringing you the Round Table of Terror. The views expressed on the Round Table of Terror may not be those of the host, the sponsors, the guests, or anyone else in particular. Well, folks, you know, Trans World is just a couple of short weeks away. Lots of things going on. We've talked about the show. We've talked about survival guides. We've talked about what to do when you're on the show floor. Let's talk about some after hours stuff that might be going on and maybe some other things. And of course, one of the big things to do when you're in St. Louis is to head out to The Darkness, biggest haunted house they got out there. And of course, well, who's the one that's in charge of The Darkness? None other than the owner of hauntworld.com, Lemp Brewery, Creepy World, The Darkness, many, many other things. Mr. Larry Kirchner, are you with us, Larry?
Yes, I am. I'm with you in spirit.
Excellent. And
but I actually died like four days ago, so you're the first to hear the breaking news.
Breaking news, Larry Kirchner's been dead 4 days already. We also have our regular hosts, including Storm up in Rhode Island.
Coming dead at you from the fabulous Seance Ballroom in Rhode Island.
Without you,
hey, what's the chances of them changing the name of your state to Dead Island?
Lots of sacks of money, the way the government runs here. So,
down in Cincinnati, Ohio, our very own Meat Hook Jim.
How can you follow something like Storm just said? I mean, I'm just anxious to hear what Larry's got to say this year.
Yeah, exactly. You can't follow what Storm said. So we'll move on. Jerry Vane, our very own instrumentalist in Columbus, is on special assignment. We'll hear all about that at a later time. My name is Drew Badger, currently not wearing pants and lounging in Charlotte, where yesterday was 70 degrees. Suck it, Upper Midwest.
Stop touching yourself.
As long as it doesn't sound on the show. So anyway, Larry, let's talk about what's going on. Give us the five W's, the who, what, where, when, and why we should all travel for all the cool stuff you've got going on after the trade show floor closes.
Well, obviously, people want to come for the haunt show, which, by the way, I have some inside information on Transworld that I think people are going to like. I've been helping Transworld expand the show. And they've rented the whole facility for 2019, including the dome. So hopefully it gets all the way into the dome, and that's going to be pretty exciting.
Oh, wow.
But as far as our haunt tour goes, this is going to be the Darkness's 25th year.
Congratulations.
25 years of fear, baby. And, you know, last year we said that we weren't going to do the Darkness tour again. We were going to focus on Creepy World. Okay, so we spent like a big part of October just trying to figure out just how exactly we would do that, because it is an outdoor haunt, right? And a lot of it has to be put away, but a lot of it stays out, and we thought we could do it. Well, you know, in case you don't live in St. Louis, it's been like at or, you know, below zero for like off and on for 8 months. For 8 weeks. I mean, how are you supposed to do anything out there? So we decided that because it was going to be the Darkness's 25th year, we would focus again on the Darkness and then also bring back the Lemp Brewery. So that's what we're doing. And because it's the 25th year, it's important for my customers and for me personally, and for all the haunted house owners, that we do a little bit of everything all through the haunt to make it the best darkness it's ever been. And that's exactly what we're doing.
When you say the best darkness, I know that, you know, I follow your progress on your Haunt World forums a lot of times. You tend to rebuild like pretty much 100% of your haunt. Is that right?
No, actually, you know, but here's an interesting fact. The very first year that Trans World came to St. Louis was the year that we built the building addition onto the darkness, which added 17,000 square feet onto our existing building. And that was the first year we built TerraVisions and the Monster Museum, the gift store, and all that. Since that year, since the year Trans World came, there is not a single thing in the building, including TerraVisions, that isn't new since Trans World came. And consider, just a couple years ago, we bought the building next door, and we built the zombie laser tag / Silo X and the escape rooms. So it's like every single thing that's in any of the buildings is brand new since Trans World has been there. So every year we focus on recreating like an area or a section. Okay. So last year it was the beginning, like when you first come in, we built the queue line, and then we built like the mummy hallways. I mean, everybody loved it. It was incredible. And we haven't redone anything to TerraVisions. We didn't do anything new upstairs and so on and so forth. So it was just that one section. Plus we built the haunted hotel, escape room, which kind of sort of didn't get done before Trans World, but it kind of opened it anyway. So this year, just like all the other years, we're focusing on one thing in the darkness. But because it's the 25th year, we decided to go way beyond our normal protocol, which is like one section. So we wanted to make sure that we touched everything. So, for example, TerraVisions hasn't been renovated or anything added in, I think, like 3 years. So we totally redid TerraVisions, and it's really cool. Right now, it's the flat out best it's ever been. We went in our museum and we built a 3-minute escape room that people can see that wasn't there last year. We redid our gift store. It's way, way more efficient now. So we redid the gift store. We added the 3-minute escape to the exit, which you're going to be able to tour that. We totally redid TerraVisions, first time in like 3 or 4 years. And then on top of that, downstairs, we built one new scene. And then upstairs in the darkness, we tore out the whole back end. So last year we did the beginning. This year we did the ending. And so this year, when you go through the darkness, the very last thing you see will be like the section that was built from scratch. But other than that, we've also redone our mummy escape room. And now it's like breathtaking. And then we added a bunch of these, what we call in shadow effects, to Silo X, where you see humans fighting zombies. And we added one new scene to that. And then in the upstairs of darkness, we added in the shower scene, the bathroom scene, we added a shadow effect there where you actually see in the shower somebody stabbing and killing someone. So a little bit of everything was done, and it's by far going to be the best presentation that we've ever had.
Are these going to be on separate days that you can go see all this, or will there be like one night at Trans World where you can go do escape rooms?
Yeah.
Or will those be available all the day? And is there going to be like a lights on tour of the darkness or the lamp, or how is that breaking down each night of Trans World?
Well, what we're doing is, and you know, I can touch on the lamp in a second, but in the past, we were doing like 4 nights. We were doing 2 different kinds of behind-the-scenes tour, and it just got taxing on everybody that works there. So this year, we decided just to do one behind-the-scenes tour, and it's very unique and very interesting. So I'm glad people are listening to your show so they'll hear this when they buy a ticket. every single year, the Behind the Scenes tour sells out. And nobody believes me that I say, well, you know, it's going to sell out. We're not going to add any more tickets. We want people to go through at a certain pace because we want it to be kind of an educational experience. So you're allowed to go through, touch everything, walk into everything, take pictures, video if you want, go through at your own pace. So this year is a little bit different because we're doing a behind-the-scenes tour at the Lemprary and at Darkness, and it's on the same night. Now, the two attractions are exactly on the same street, and they're about a mile apart, okay? So you would start at the Lemprary because it's going to open at 7, and then the Darkness will start at 7:30. Okay, so the Lamp will close at 9, and the Darkness will close at 9:30. So you would start at the Lamp, you would go through the Lamp, and then you would swing back over to the Darkness, and then you would go through the Darkness behind the scenes tour, and, you know, obviously you would end up, you know, in our brand new horror museum slash gift store where we built the 3-minute escape room. And then that's going to be on Thursday, and then on Friday, we're going to open the Lamp Brewery with actors. This will only be the second time, I think, that we've ever done it. Okay. And then that same night, like an hour later, we're running a zombie laser tag demo at Silo X with live actors. And then on Saturday, we open the Darkness with live actors. As far as St. Louis Escape, we have changed our hours for the week of Transworld. So from that Monday to that Sunday, we're open from 10 a.m. to midnight. So even if you're a vendor, you can come in early and come and, you know, and play. And we have a discount code as well. It's Transworld 2018, and you'll save 15%. But last year, it essentially almost sold out. So if people take advantage of that discount code, they just go to St. Louis Escape. .com, and then they can book the room. So the Mummy is totally redone, and it's totally badass. Hopefully I can say the word ass.
You can
say
that.
Twice.
Just keep it PG-13.
And the Haunted Hotel was kind of sort of like done for Transworld last year, but it wasn't. It was about 2 weeks after Transworld was over that we finished it. And, you know, that's the, you know, the escape room that has literally like $300,000 worth of animatronics in it. And that's like fully ready to go. Plus, we have the subway and the cellar and our party room. And we've also added a lot of cool things to our lobby. I put in a bunch of retro pinball games like Adam's Family, Creature in Black Lagoon, Freddy Krueger, and Dracula, of course, right? Because I collect horror pinball games. So you can go to the escape rooms any day. You can go during the show times, okay, like when the show's going on. You can come at night, you can come in the morning. Monday through Sunday, and use that discount code.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Gentlemen,
yeah.
Questions?
Well, Larry, over the years, you know, doing anything off-season during a show like this to have any part of a haunt open is a task in itself. What have been some of the benefits you've had from being open during a show and doing these behind-the-scene nights or having part of the attraction open?
Well, you know, let me tell you something, because you kind of inspired like a thought in my head. Like, it's taxing for people who are going to open, especially for like, say, MHC or whatever. You know, we actually do these tours without going to Transworld. A lot of haunted house owners go to Transworld, buy stuff, right? So we're doing them, and we're trying to, we always try to do something every year that nobody's ever seen done before, okay? And that's exactly what we're going to try to do with our new sewer section that we're building into the Darkness, right? So it's going to be amazing. I think it's going to be the best thing we've ever done, so on and so forth. So we have literally a handful of months to build not one haunted house, but we've rebuilt Terror Visions and the Darkness and Limp. But on top of that, we've built two mini golfs, a haunted house for a client in China, okay, and two escape rooms for a client in Toronto that we're shipping tomorrow, okay? So our entire crew was pulled off of working on Lamp Brewery to go and load this truck tomorrow for this client in Toronto. Three of my key staff members are in Shanghai, China right now installing haunted house. So we've been doing this in between trying to do this renovation. So I've got the biggest crew I think I've ever had. And I have something like 16 people working full time. 4 carpenters, 4 painters, 2 technicians, 3 laborer type people. I mean, it's just insane. So plus on top of that, I'm trying to redo Haunt World to make it more mobile friendly, and I'm doing that on the side. Okay, you know, and I'm doing the Fear Ticket, and we're working on, you know, a box office solution. So all this stuff's going on simultaneously. So we're talking right now at 8 o'clock at night, and I'm driving down to the darkness as we speak, because I have a crew redoing The Mummy. We're trying to get it up and running, the new version, by tomorrow. So like, the one thing that I'll tell you that I've learned was the very first year that we did the Haunt Tour was the year that we tried to do too much, okay? And I learned a lot about, like, figuring out a ways to cut corners but actually make it look better than it would have been in the first place to speed things up. And when we did the Haunt Tour the very first year, we also built a building, which was insane, okay? I remember the day before Transworld, I was telling these tuck pointers to get the damn sand out of the way of the door where people come out, okay, that they were using to tuck point the building. And then we didn't open on time, and then everybody was mad. And basically, I learned that how to get my haunted house open, you know, ahead of schedule, you know, on time, because I just got grilled by the haunt industry for failing to open on time. And just little things like were dropped. For example, we had no way of communicating because nobody thought to charge the batteries of the radios. So, like, we didn't have no radios. It was insane the first year. So I got taught a lesson, and every year I think we've gotten better and better at, you know, like, working within this stressful crock pot, so to speak, right? Pressure cooker, and actually exceed people's expectations, because I stand in the exit of the darkness and people come through and they're just like, you're crazy. Like, you know, like, what the heck? How much money did you spend? Like, you know, it's like, oh my God, you know, I mean, people are blown away. And that's what we want to do, because it's the haunt industry. And I've always felt like this tour is like the single best seminar of the year, you know? And so having that audience and having that cap, you know, that audience of, you know, your peers and stuff, it makes you like really dig deep and try to figure out ways to do things that you didn't even know you could do. And so that's been fun. And this will be the best year ever.
I do want to remind everybody, you're listening to the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show with our very special guest, Larry Kirchner. We're going to take a real quick break, pay some bills, listen to this very important message, and we will be right back.
You know how it is. You're alone. There's the internet. You start clicking. You're looking for something necrotic. Some things, you see, your grandmother wouldn't call necrotic. Click on some other sites. Whoa, that is just way, way too necrotic. But then you find Necrotic Creations. Necrotic. You may not know what necrotic means, but you know it when you see it. Get Necrotic. Necrotic Creations. Shop anytime at necroticcreations.com.
And we're back to the Roundtable of Terror, talking with the one and only Larry Kirchner about all the cool stuff that is happening at Transworld After Hours, with the darkness and the Lemp Brewery, the escape rooms, zombie laser tag, all that great stuff. Larry, I know you mentioned it earlier about the Lemp. The Lemp is back this year. It's taken a hiatus for a couple of years, but now you've got it back and people can come and tour this very unique place.
Yeah, you know, I'll say that the Lamp is probably one of the 10 best locations for a haunted house that anybody's using in the country. I mean, it's right up there with like Eastern State Penitentiary, Pennhurst Asylum. I mean, it's insane, the whole place.
What is it for people who don't know what it is? It's an actual brewery from like, what, 100 years ago, something like that. And it's actually underground. It's really crazy.
Yeah, it was built in like the 1880s or something, and back before they had refrigeration, and it was built, you know, by Germans. So, like, they built it, you know, like, I don't even know, 6-7 levels below the ground. And so it looks like Dracula's castle. I mean, you could literally, I took Robert Kurtzman down there one time, and I took him on the grand tour, like, all over, not just the haunted house, but all kinds of spots. I said, what kind of movies do you think you could shoot here? He says, everything. You know, you could shoot Game of Thrones here. You could shoot Dracula. You could shoot King Arthur. You could shoot anything. And it really is crazy in there, okay? Because that's how they used to keep the beer cool, because they didn't have refrigeration. And it was a real cave system. And then I think it was like in the 70s. Or somewhere around there, they built this highway in St. Louis called Highway 55, which went right over where the caves were. So prior, the caves were actually a tourist attraction that you could go to in the city called the Cherokee Caves. And you could look that up on the internet. But so it's kind of built in this little area. And the reason why that I hadn't opened it is because, for two reasons. Number one, we have spent so much time renovating the darkness on top of the fact that we've been doing projects for other people. And two, we actually didn't open the lamp to the public this year until like the last 2 weeks, because everybody was upset with us because we didn't open it. So we did. We opened it for 14 days. We weren't going to open it because we were going to renovate it. Okay. I thought, I'll just be honest, I thought it sucked. I thought it was a below average attraction that wasn't worth really seeing. And that's why I didn't open it. You know, I get people from the haunt industry and I talk to them and I'll say, hey, when's the last time you've been to the darkness tour? And they said 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever. I'm like, okay, you've like missed an eternity. Okay. Like, you haven't really seen it because we changed so much stuff. I'm guessing that we spent somewhere in the neighborhood of about $6 million since we actually started the tour. And so every year you're just missing so much. And we really do it for the haunt industry, because my customers in St. Louis, I mean, you know, people complain that they don't even like it. And people in the haunt industry are like, huh? And, you know, it's the same typical complaints, right? But we really do all this stuff for the haunt industry. And when it came to LEMP, I didn't want to open it because I just didn't think it was any good. So we decided last year we were going, or during October, we decided we were going to open it for Transworld, but we were going to redo it. So we've actually been working on it off and on for about 6 weeks, and it'll be totally, you know, upgraded and new, and it's going to be really crazy. It's going to have sections you can't even find your way out of the place. Because one of the biggest complaints was it was too short, and now it's going to be like almost twice as long. And so we're going to open the lamp because people wanted us to, but also because we're happier with it because we've renovated it, if that makes sense. Are you there?
Well, I think some of us are still here.
Oh, yeah, definitely here. Sometimes the cough button, you know, it gets tough to turn off. And then, you know, Nicodemus, the podcasting cat, he starts getting interested in hearing all this neat stuff going on.
There you go.
So let's talk a little bit about Creepy World. Now, Larry, you know, anybody that's been in the business for any amount of time has seen the America Haunts videos. They've got them recorded. They've got them saved on disc. Creepy World was a part of one of these discs. How much has changed in Creepy World since the America Haunts videos?
Yeah. So, Creepy World, okay, and I tell this to people in the haunt industry all the time, if you really like the darkness, you should come back in October and go through Creepy World. But Creepy World, it's literally grown like crazy. It's up to 13 attractions in one location. And last year we redid the hayride, which I've been putting off for years because I knew it was going to be a big project. And it turned out to be the most difficult project that I've ever done, because I don't think we really got it done by the time the haunt season opened. And so I've actually bought a whole bunch of new stuff for it because we weren't 100% sure if we were, we weren't going to open it. So our plan was to continue renovating the hayride. We have this incredible haunted hayride theme called Trick or Treat. And it's just about like every house you could go trick or treating wants to kill you. And so we're adding like two more sections to it. And I can't say, cause I want to keep it a surprise, but you know, every year we've been doing a movie theme or some sort of like a big facade for Transworld. So we'll be doing another one this year. And then that facade will go to Creepy World after the show. And so we're hoping that, people get a kick out of the booth that we're going to build this year. But yeah, Creepy World is better than the darkness. It does more attendance than the darkness. It's our biggest and best haunt. There's 13 attractions. It's literally, if we figured it out by miles, it's probably 2 miles plus walk. And it's gigantic. And that's where the problem comes in to open it for Transworld. You'd be working in 0 degree temperature. And it would be very difficult. We'd have props getting snowed on and whatever, iced over. So we just decided we would focus on LEMP instead.
Sure. No, totally understandable. I mean, outdoors in March in St. Louis is about as unpredictable as it comes.
Yeah, like right now, like today, it's been 65 degrees all day, but yesterday it was sleeting, icing, and you know, around 10 degrees. So that's just what you deal with here.
Now, a couple of years ago when we had you on the show talking about things, you were talking about introducing a brand new ticketing system, which you've had up for a couple of years. I believe it's called Fear Ticket. That seems to be going pretty well. Or do you have anything brand new that you're going to be bringing up for this season? Or tell us a little bit about that.
You know, I'll tell you something. You know, I started Fear Ticket for really, you know, as people know, we built Haunt World and we built like different, you know, programs online and everything. And I just said to my programmers, do you think we can make a ticketing system? Because I was paying like $40,000 in ticketing fees. And I'm like, why should I pay $40,000 in ticketing fees? I think I'm getting gouged. Okay. And I think what people don't understand is like a haunter is somebody when he drives down the street and they see some old abandoned building, they go, man, that would make a great haunted house. I mean, you're talking to a haunter, right? And then I think there's people who are true blue haunters, like the people, for example, that follow, what's his name, that makes all the masks and does all the how-to videos on YouTube. Alan
Hobbs.
Alan Hobbs, that's right. Yeah, see, I don't have time to, like, follow all that stuff or haunters hang out. I don't even care about that stuff. I'm, like, busy every day, okay? So, you know, it's like, for me, you know, with all the things that I have going on, you know, I'm a haunter, whether I hang out on, like, some haunter hangout thing or don't. I've never been on that page. I've never seen it, never looked at it. Don't have time for it, right? And so whether or not I am there or people don't see me here or people don't see me at some party, trust me, I'm a haunter. Because I think one of the staples of being a haunter is trying to figure out how you can do something cheaper, right? And so I think when you're a haunter, like that's stapled into your brain. How can I do this cheaper? And that's why I did Fear Ticket, because even though paying 75 cents or $1 or $2 is not that crazy, right? But for me, it was crazy, okay? And so I just decided to build a ticketing system to save that money, okay? And do it myself, because I'm a haunter. Do it yourself, right? And then the ticketing system turned out to be so incredible and so much better than the ones that I had been using, which was interactive ticketing, that I decided to offer to other people to try to save them money. And I can tell you, not only are we saving people money, but every single person who signed up with Fear Ticket that talked to me on the phone, I've quadrupled their online ticketing sales. And that's no lie. That is no lie. You can ask Dwayne Sanborn from 13th Gate. You can ask John Eslidge, you know, up there in Ohio, and ask them if they have not quadrupled their online ticket sales. I mean, quadrupled. Okay. So like, John Eslidge is using Fair Ticket, and, he was just, I was just talking to him on the phone, and they did their Valentine's event. They did over 50% of all their sales were online. But prior, you know, they were doing very little. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that a customer of a haunted house doesn't want to pay, like there's companies out there, like in Haunters, like I had the most interesting conversation with a haunter last year about using Fair Ticket. He goes, oh, you know, it's like the ticketing system I'm using, it's free. I go, oh, really? It's free? How's it free? He goes, well, I don't pay anything. And they even give me $2,000 to cover over to cover chargebacks. And so I'm actually making $2,000. I go, really? And I said, how much does the ticketing company charge your customers? And he says, well, I don't have to pay that. My customers do. And I'm like, okay, that's great. But how much are they charging your customers? And he said, like $5. So, but most haunt customers don't want to pay a surcharge or a very high surcharge to buy a ticket. But like, for example, I'm selling over 50% of all my tickets online now, and I charge a surcharge and I keep it. Okay. So whereas that guy said he thought he was getting it for free, I showed him with very simple math that if he would have used a system that didn't allow the ticketing company to charge his customers, even with it, maybe a few thousand dollars in chargebacks and whatever, that he would have profited by about $30,000 based on the tickets that he sold. And he scratched his head and he's like, huh. You know, but one of the things I found is that haunters, for the most part, aren't really business people. You know, they're more like creative people. And, you know, like business was created out of a passion for wanting to scare people. And so that's where the haunt industry really lacks, having a lot of business experience and business knowledge. And I created Fear Ticket to save haunters money and give them a better product. And then also this year, we're adding a box office solution. So you can, out of your ticket booth, you can actually print the tickets. They can scan, or they can print the tickets online, or they can show their phone and you can scan them that way. And I made my system based on what would make life go faster for me as a haunt owner. And so every single person who's used the system is like, they love it. And they said, oh my God, it's so much faster. And I go, yeah, because it was made tailored to the problems that you face. You know what I mean? And so like, let's say you're an axe throwing place, right? Which is a new phenomenon that's going around, and you sell tickets online, or let's say you sell Groupons for art painting studio. So they've got 15 customers I got to scan. Whereas a haunter, if you're selling 50% of your tickets, and in one night, you have to scan 2,500 tickets in one location. I mean, that takes a while. You know what I mean? It's not that simple. They just don't walk in. So you have to have a system that can plow through it. You know what I mean? Whereas I think most ticketing systems were made for that concept that, oh, yeah, you have all day to scan these things. But not at a haunted house, you don't.
Oh, sure. Well, Larry, we're looking at the clock here. It looks like we're going to need to start winding this down. This is normally the part of the show we call the plugs, give you a chance to plug all the information. And, of course, you know, for those going to Transworld, they're going to want information on the Lemp Brewery. They're going to want information on the Zombie, Laser Tag, the Escape Rooms, of course, the Darkness, maybe even Fear Ticket. How can people get more information about all those things? And, you know, let's not forget Haunt World, HauntWorld.com, the magazine, all that good stuff. How can they get more information on everything that's happening after hours, after the show floor closes at Transworld, all the websites and social medias?
Hey, well, one thing I wanted to tell you is that we have a new magazine coming out, and we have a very interesting article in there, okay, from the Queen Mary, who said they sold seven figures in beer sales. And wow. So we've asked them to do an article on how you can sell beer at your attraction, and then, like, you know, the protocols and everything else. Because every haunter that I'm talking to today, the big thing that they're all doing is trying to figure out other ways to make money off the same customer, okay? Whether it's selling beer or having a 3-minute escape or whatever. So we'll have that big article in the magazine. And then I'm also writing an article in the magazine dealing with how haunters and communities affected by amusement parks, you know, doing a bigger push to take your business, or say a company or companies that might be coming into your market, you know, and they buy them out, and then, you know, they've got all this digital media. So like I'm doing an article on how you can deal with that. And so you can get the magazine at hauntedhousemagazine.com. And if you want to come to our tours, go to thedarkness.com. Very simple. www.thedarkness.com. And if they want to book our escape rooms, they should go to www.stlouisescape.com. And that's stlouisescape.com. And then, of course, if they want to get information on a fear ticket, they can most certainly do that. And if anybody ever has questions about the haunt industry, I'm still on the Haunt World Fright Forum, even though most people are on Facebook. I'm on Haunt World Fright Forum, and every time somebody has a question about, you know, anything, I'm always there to answer them.
Excellent. Well, Larry, it's always a pleasure to have you here on the Big Scary Show, talking about all the cool things happening with the darkness and Creepy World and fear ticketing and hauntworld.com. Check out everything that you can while you're at Transworld. You know, go to the haunted house, go check out the escape rooms, go check out the ticketing systems, go check out everything that Larry's got to offer. Always a pleasure to have you here on the show. Couldn't do it without Larry Kirchner as a great guest, and we certainly couldn't do it without our hosts, including Storm.
You know, we got to take a page out of the Simpsons book. There's so much going on from what Larry's been telling us with all the tours and everything for Transworld. We just got to create a new calendar and add Smarch in there, because we don't have enough time between now and the end of March.
Oh, God, I forgot about Smarch.
Hey, you know, one thing I wanted to tell you is, like, you know, so I think sometimes people misinterpret things I do or things. Everything that I do and everything I've ever done, whether it was start this haunted house show, which I mean, you can ask Transworld, they'll tell you that I'm the one. Okay. And I pushed it and I forced it into happening. And everything that I've done it to help haunters. And I do the tour for that reason. I do the magazine because it loses money every time. I do the videos, which, by the way, we're making another one. But everything I do is to help haunters because I care about them deeply, and I'm appreciative of your show helping haunters as well.
Well, thank you.
Oh,
we
definitely.
Also could.
I mean, those are the key things with the haunt attraction industry too. You know, it's the one thing that you always see, no matter where you're going to shows or whether you're working a haunt. There's this community aspect to it. But the other thing is, too, we're all artists and creative. So that community and that artistic ego do make it such an interesting industry, but a helpful one at the same time.
Oh, you could do a whole show about that, couldn't you?
Yeah, we might have to. That's not a bad topic. Also, would like to thank our good friend and owner of the record button, Meat Hook Jim.
Well, I've got to say that Larry, I always enjoy having Larry on because he gives us so much information. And, you know, his dedication to the haunt industry is invaluable. A lot of us have learned a lot of things watching some of his videos and going to his attractions. So all I can say is thank you, Larry.
Hey, no, well, thank you. You guys, you know, it's a different world than when I started. And I feel like a dinosaur almost.
Unfortunately, again, Jerry Vane not here tonight. We'll have him back on hopefully with the next show, so we'll check that out. My name is Drew Badger. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, still not wearing pants, and just want to remind everybody, check out all the cool stuff that's happening at Transworld, especially if you're a first time goer. There is so much out there, and of course all the stuff that Larry does is a big part of it. You're listening to the Roundtable of Terror here on The Big Scary Show.
You can almost hear the people clicking the program off every time Badger says he's not wearing pants.
Yeah,
you can almost hear it. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a comprehensive ticketing solution for your haunted attraction? HauntPay has the answer. We skip the features you don't need and focus on the ones you like, such as timed ticketing and repeat time slots, variable ticket types, bundle and combo tickets, social media discounts. And now featuring all-in-one options, including managing your tickets online and at the door, as well as upselling and managing your merchandise and concessions, with a comprehensive report on everything at the end of the night. Head on over to HauntPay.com and get started in 60 seconds for free.
Virgil Franklin, Lair of the Unknown, on the Big Scary Show.
Of our listeners have been with the Big Scary Show since the beginning, and we are rapidly approaching our sixth, yes, sixth anniversary. There were people out there that said we couldn't do it, but here we are, going strong. April 13th will mark 6 years of the Big Scary Show. For those of you that are new listeners or have only been with us for a couple of years, you may not know much about our backgrounds and or who we are. So, on this new segment that I am producing, because I like to change segments like most people change their underwear, my new segment is now called Between the Corpses, thanks to Storm for the idea. And we're just going to get into the nuts and bolts of what the Big Scary Show is right now, and who we are. To a degree, we're not going to tell you everything. But this all came about back in 2012. All four of us were part of a previous podcast that we simply refer to as the old podcast. Those of you that have been with us since the beginning know what we're talking about. But anyway,
It was a collaboration. It kind of fell into place. One contacted the other, contacted the other, and we all put this together. And it came about pretty quickly, given the amount of time we had to fill a void when the old show left. So with moving forward with that, it consists of Drew Badger, the haunt rocker or hauntstrumentalist Jerry Vane, Storm, and myself. I've gone through several monikers, the unknown scare actor, Meat Hook Jim. So pick your poison, just call me Jim if you want to. That is my first name. The unknown scare actor is the worst kept secret in the haunt industry. That's why I don't mind saying it anymore. And we each have our own little niche in this business we call the haunted attraction industry. Drew Badger has been an actor trainer and consultant. He's acted many times. He used to be a slider before he got too old and couldn't bend his knees as much. Jerry Vane got into this through the old podcast and some encouragement and his love for Halloween and the Haunted Mansion, and the Haunt Rocker was born. Storm managed and acted at haunts up in the New England area for years. And myself, a lifelong love of Halloween, started acting professionally about 12 years ago and went from working at attractions to working at bigger name attractions to creating my own group of traveling actors who goes around the tri-state area of Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky, sometimes Pennsylvania, and maybe even Minnesota this year. We're waiting to see what happens there. But we come from very diverse backgrounds, if you haven't met any of us. And I'm not going to tell you exactly what some of us do for our day jobs, but my day job involves something that prop builders will understand, including pneumatics and hydraulics. The four of us, our personalities are so different that it just works for the show. You know, you listen to the show every week and you hear Drew, and Drew Badger is, for lack of a better term, the voice of the show. He is the voice you usually hear, the deep baritone. That's who you hear most of the time. There have been times when the other three of us have taken point and been more vocal than normal. Jerry, of course, compiles all the haunt music you hear on our show, including some of his own material. And if you've never listened to any of Jerry's material, you need to, because if you like the metal edge to your songs, it's out there. Plus, his latest album, Black Moon Asylum, has got a more goth feel, and he went out on a limb, and it's been very well received because it's not his usual style. Storm, he loves to rant. He loves to bring things to light. He loves to create an argument. He loves to just talk about what's going on in the present, which you'll hear in a haunt minute. And occasionally you hear the lair of the marketing weasel, because he's got a background in marketing as well. That's all I'm going to tell you about his other job. And then that comes down to me. I've already told you about myself, so I'm not going to talk about me other than to say I am the producer of the show. Usually every other Saturday morning, I sit at my desk with my MacBook Pro, and I take all the pieces of the show, put them together, so you can enjoy them by Saturday afternoon every 2 weeks. I also make sure that the self-produced Big Scary News, which is done by Drew Badger, is up on the offset weeks to keep you guys in the haunt industry in the know 52 weeks a year. So here we are, episode 152, show 154. We changed the numbering scheme back at the beginning, and that's why it's a little offset. And we're always looking for new material, new guests, So if anybody out there has something they're really passionate about within the industry and they want to talk about it, email us. Shoot me an email. You can send it to our standard email box, bigscaryshow@gmail.com. You can email directly me. You can email me directly at usa@bigscaryshow.com. If you've got news that needs to go into Deadline News, news@bigscaryshow.com. If you are a musician who wants to get some of your songs on the air, you can send it to Jerry at... I have to look at Jerry's address. But anyway, you can send it to any of us. You can go to bigscaryshow@gmail.com to get us the music. If you've got marketing tips or suggestions, or you want to ask Storm a question regarding the marketing weasel, storm@bigscaryshow.com. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say Jerry's is going to be vane@bigscaryshow.com. Don't hold me to that. I could be wrong. And, well, that's pretty much it. That's kind of the background of who and what the Big Scary Show is. And we love just bringing everything we can to the table in a comprehensive podcast for the industry. So thanks for listening, and I'm sure over the next few weeks Between the Corpses will probably evolve. But for now, this is going to be the first episode of
Between the Corpses.
Ready to dress up your show? Need to pump new life into old props? Just want to show something no one else has? Do what Alice Cooper, Distortions Unlimited, and A-list haunters all over the world do. Wear Bunkerum. Durable, handcrafted, dependable year after year. Bunkerum. When you scare enough to wear the very best. Bunkerum.com. VONCHARON.com.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We're live at Days of the Dead in Atlanta, Georgia. We are chatting with everybody around under the sun. And, of course, when you go to Days of the Dead, they always have a lot of local haunted houses here. I've got Dave from Paranormal Haunted House here in Canton, Georgia, not too far down the road. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Tell me about how Paranoia did last year. I understand you had some big news. You have your own building now.
Yes, we had a great turnout last year. We recently purchased the building that we were in, so we have 25,000 square feet. To our disposal.
I'm sure the tax people love that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we're excited for the 2018 season. We have two new attractions, Insanity and the Blood Bayou. So we're currently working on that. So we're lots of cool things in store. A boat ride. You're actually going to hop on a boat and float across the length of the haunt to the other end and then take the journey back to the front. So something unique, something not seen for many, many years. We're super excited about the season coming up.
You know, boats are so underutilized in haunted houses these days. You know, I've been to some that have had, you know, you go across a little pond or a little stream, and sometimes they're actually inside a building. It's just all effects and everything. But this is an actual boat traveling an actual place?
Yeah, it'll be a custom-made boat. It'll seat up to 8 people. And we're really big on our water effects. I like to use a lot of water. And so you're going to actually step onto the boat, sit down, we'll kind of strap you in, and you will take a ride across the haunt to the other side.
Oh, gosh, and I hope nothing's going to come out and get you when you're strapped in.
Well, of course it is.
that sounds like it's going to be fun. I know you've got to go over here and work on a panel here in just a second, but for people wanting information on Paranoia Haunted House, you've got some off-season shows maybe going on in the works or anything like that, the new stuff coming in. How can they get more information with social media, websites, etc.?
Well, on top of doing the normal Halloween show, we also have a December show. It's called Holiday of Horror. tours. It's basically runs through the whole month of December.
We mentioned that
and
on
it's,
our news,
yes,
I believe.
It's just you know, it's a Christmas haunt, but it's all the fictional characters, you know.
Nice.
And but yeah, you can get full details at paranoiahaunt.com. We're located in Canton, Georgia. It's about 45 minutes north of Atlanta. So yeah, check us out on Facebook too at Paranoia Haunted House. Again, the website is paranoiahaunt.com.
How scary are those North Georgia mountains in the daytime?
In the daytime, not as scary as paranoia at night.
Oh, geez, I can't help but I've got to make that trip out there this year. Dave, it's a pleasure to have you here, down here, not only at Days of the Dead, but here on The Big Scary Show. My name is Drew Badger for The Big Scary Show. Ironically enough, at Days of the Dead in Atlanta, GA. Check them out, paranoiahaunt.com, and we're out.
Passion is what drives us. The passion to be the best. For over 10 years, that passion has taken us from eBay to becoming the driving force in the haunted house industry. And we are just getting started. From flex props to 9-foot giants. Great details, great looks, and great pricing is the foundation we are built on. Our heart beats Halloween and haunts. We are Creepy Collection. Let us deliver our passion to your haunted attraction this season. CreepyCollection.com. Now that's creepy.
Welcome once more to another edition of the Veister's Haunted Vista. Here we are, the second half of February. It's still bitingly cold, of course. And The Walking Dead is mere moments from returning at this point. Is everybody excited? No, not that kind of excited. Jeez, people, I swear. On this edition of the Vista, we're revisiting the Legends of Metal theme, and I'm going to be looking in that has had such a huge influence upon the genre itself, and also the Halloween and horror industries. I'm, of course, referring to none other than Judas Priest. Next to Black Sabbath, Judas Priest are probably the most influential of all the metal bands. And, oddly enough, they also hail from Sabbath's hometown as well, Birmingham, England. Priest's influence was not as immediately felt as Sabbath's was. It took them quite a few years to find their feet. But there is no denying their influence visually and sonically in all the areas I have aforementioned. To make my point, I'm going to start from the very top of their career. The classic lineup of Judas Priest, Rob Halford vocals, Glenn Tipton, and K.K. Downing on lead guitars, Ian Hill on bass, and a variety of drummers which included both the late Dave Holland and currently the powerhouse and Scott Travis, actually had a very humble and quiet and meager beginning. The band's two founding members in Downing and Hill came together in the late 60s through a mutual love of bands like Hendrix, Cream, Zeppelin, and so forth. They decided to form the band, and they kind of nicked the name Judas Priest from another band that folded its tents, and KK was like, I want that name. Rob Halford and Glenn Tipton came later into the picture, and the classic lineup was set around 1973-1974, releasing their first album on a small subsidiary label called Gull, entitled Rock-a-Rolla. Off often considered one of the lamest of the Judas Priest albums by their fan base, something I will vehemently disagree with, but I don't have the time to go into it. It's very blues-based, poppy kind of music, but at the same time, the band had a ton of heavier material ready to go, but their record label insisted upon them doing their lighter touch stuff, so we ended up with this record. It's not terrible. There's a couple of really good tracks on there, like Never Satisfied and Cheater, but the major criticisms levied against this record is that it sounds like a combination of elements of Zeppelin, Sabbath, and Purple all rolled into one, and not necessarily the better ones. And speaking of the heavier elements, that was next to come, and this is where the Judas Priest story really begins. Released at the tail end of 1976, Sad Wings of Destiny contained all the hints and foretellings of what the band was to become, both visually and sonically. Tracks like the aforementioned Victim of Changes, Genocide, Tyrant, Dreamer Deceiver, Island of Domination, and in particular, The Ripper.
You're in for surprise. You're in for a shock.
All of these became classic examples of the twin guitar work of Downing and Tipton. Don't forget, up to this point, most metal bands were just guitar, bass, and drums. Second guitarist in metal was unheard of at the point Judas Priest appeared. And on top of which, it debuted what Rob Halford could really do with his Banshee Wail 4-octave range. Commercially a dud, the album nonetheless announced Priest artistically. Don't forget, the band ended up playing a majority of the tracks off this record all through the 70s and 80s, and even today, tracks like Victim of Changes and The Ripper feature predominantly in their live work. And two, it got the attention of CBS Records, who promptly signed the band. And in 1977, with the help of Deep Purple bassist Roger Glover, the band unleashed its first worldwide musical statement. Taken as a whole, Sin After Sin is still somewhat musically formative, but Priests were definitely finding their feet with tunes like the aforementioned Sinner, Starbreaker, Dissident Aggressor, which some metalheads claim launched the entire thrash metal movement, and the band even had a minor hit cover of Joan Baez's Diamonds and Rust, another track that would become a live staple for decades to come. But taken as a whole, it's spotty. I'm not particularly fond of this one. Plus, the production is so-so at best, but it did get them noticed and got them opening slots on several major tours, including REO Speedwagon. How's that for a quirky double bill? Times were certainly different back in the 1970s, let me tell ya. Still, the album's modest success and relentless touring afforded them a chance to open for Led Zeppelin in California on the final two dates they ever played in the United States on their 1977 world tour. Not a bad way to start things off. The band were about to go under a much darker route with their first of their two 1978 releases. Stained Class stands as one of Priest's darkest and most depressing albums ever in their entire catalog. The record is somber, dark, meandering, and very depressing in certain aspects of it, even outdoing Black Sabbath at their own game at certain points. Fans and critics alike hail Stained Class as one of the five most important heavy metal albums ever in the entire genre, and I won't argue that too hard. It makes a very intense musical statement, with tracks like White Heat, Red Hot, the spectacular title track, the aforementioned Satan's in Hell, the hyper-aggression proto-thrash metal of Exciter, and the monumental classic Beyond the Realms of Death. In terms terms of darker imagery, Halloween, and horror-related, this was the pinnacle of Priest's involvement in this sort of thing. They were going to make a major stylistic change with the next record. But lyrically speaking, in terms of Halloween and horror, Sad Wings, Sin After Sin, and Stained Glass all pretty much were the epicenter of this sort of thing. They would touch on devilish, ghoulish, and spooky stuff in later albums, but really, they had a huge stylistic shift with the next album, which came towards the tail end of 1978. Also worthy of note, this album and the cover version of Spooky Tooth's Better By You, Better Than Me were the epicenter of the 1999 twin suicide case that Judas Priest were the center of. I'm not going to go into the particulars here. The band won it, and it was a very, very strange state of affairs because if you lived in the 80s, there was always some sort of accusations of Satanism, backwards masking, and that sort of like with Priest, Sabbath, Ozzy, AC/DC, on and on, but it never really was brought to trial until that point. There's several good pieces and documentaries based on the trial. One in particular is called Dreamer Deceivers. It's available on YouTube that goes into the particulars and quite a bit of the court case. Judge for yourself. I always thought backwards masking was a load of hogwash, but from a historical standpoint, it is definitely worth closer examination. As I mentioned a moment ago, Priest had a huge stylistic shift with their next album, 1978's Killing Machine, which was released a few months later in the States as Hellbent for Leather. This is where more poppy elements were introduced into the band's styles, not to mention shorter songs, with an eye on more commercial success. ...1979 proved to be a major turning point for the band in terms of their career, their influence, and their style. This was the point where Rob Halford adapted both his leather and studs look, not to mention starting to ride a Harley Davidson on stage during the song Hellbent for Leather, but they also went on the road with both Kiss and AC/DC, and Kiss in particular, the theatrical aspect rubbed off on them in a big way, which would follow suit during the 1980s. The rousing cover of Fleetwood Mac's Green Monalishi received a considerable amount of airplay, and they also had a huge tour in Japan, which ended up becoming the Unleashed in the East live album, released later in the year, which made major waves in the United States, one of Priest's primary target markets to begin with. As it stands, Hellbent for Leather / Killing Machine is a stylistically transitional record for the band. They began to write shorter songs, as I mentioned, and they began to have a few hits in the UK with songs like Take on the World and Evening Star, and tunes like Delivering the Goods, Rock Forever, Running Wild, and Hellbent for Leather all ended up being in the band's stage show for many years to come. Hellbent for Leather itself, obviously, when Halford rides out on his Harley, is still very much in evidence. As much of a success as 1979 was for the band, 1980 was the tipping point. Pounding the world like a battering ram. British Steel was the perfect mix between Priest's trademark heaviness and songs like Rapid Fire, Metal Gods, and Steeler, but with a keen eye on FM radio with Breaking the Law, United, and of course Living After Midnight. Trust me, you could not get away from either song, Midnight in particular, on FM radio all that summer. In addition to all the U.S. success, Priest were riding high on the wave of a movement called the New Wave of British Heavy Metal out in England. Spearheaded by the likes of Iron Maiden, Def Leppard, and Saxon, it was just a musical reaction against both punk and disco that went over huge in England, and Priest pretty much rode the coattails of it. In England, to greater fame and accord, and also had Iron Maiden nipping at their heels, hint, hint, hint. I'm not going to comment on the Priest versus Maiden rivalry that went on so much in the early 80s. Both bands are relevant and worthy of their places, but I will say Priest had an annoying habit of blowing their right foot off when the going was good for them. And their 1981 release, Point of Entry, was a glaring example of this. Released on the coattails of a monster like British Steel, Point of Entry went for a much more pop accessibility with more harmonies, brighter songs, more melodies, and it just did not mesh with the American market like they had hoped it would. Granted, songs like Solar Angels, Desert Plains, and Hot Rockin' still remain highly regarded in the catalog, but overall, Point of Entry is one of those black sheep records. You either like it or you don't. I happen to, but it wasn't the smartest commercial move for that time, especially when Iron Maiden had just released the album Killers, which was just all killer and no filler, pardon the pun. Priest were to recoup very quickly in the next year. Released in August of 1982, Screaming for Vengeance turned out to be one of Priest's most highly regarded and highly successful discs. Boosted by the radio airplay of You Got Another Thing Coming, the album was nearly flawless, featuring Devil's Child, The Electric Eye, Bloodstone, the monumental title track, Riding on the Wind, and just about everything on this album is metal perfection. Truly a remarkable piece of work. 1984 is regarded the year of metal, and Priest came into it with all guns blazing following on Vengeance heels. Released in January of 1984, Defenders of the Faith followed up Screaming for Vengeance perfectly and made it seem effortless. My only gripe with this album is the fact that the production is a bit wonky, but this was 1984. If you listen to some tapes from this and the following tours, the Defenders material comes up much better in a live atmosphere. On a personal note, this is where I really became a fan of the Mighty Priest. Sounds cool still to say that all these years later. The Mighty Priest! The tour behind this was absolutely amazing. Drove 3 hours one way to catch it in Alpine Valley, Wisconsin, but that's a story of another color. Sadly, after this, Priest started to go downhill very rapidly. Flushed with the recent success they've been experiencing, plus keeping an eye, somewhat foolishly, upon the pop metal movement, Priest released Turbo in 1986, lightening up their image and pretty much offending the majority of their fan base, even though the tour was a major success. The follow-up live album, Priest Live, was pretty mushy sound quality-wise, and then 1988's Ram It Down, the majority of which was done and recorded during the Turbo sessions, proved to be another commercial dud. The problem here is Priest were celebrating 20 years of their career and intended to release a double record called Twin Turbos. In other words, Ram It Down would have been the second half of it. But the record company squeezed them and they decided to release one ultra commercial poppy album, which I still can't stand to this day, except maybe for the last two tracks, Hot for Love and Reckless. And Ram It Down in and of itself was an attempt to go back to their roots, but still with an eye on the pop prize. Drummer Dave Holland left at the end of the tour, and with the double suicide case surrounding Stained Class, Better By You, Better Than Me, the Priest enlisted drum monster Scott Travis and began recording what would probably be their last truly great album. Painkiller stands alongside British Steel, Screaming for Vengeance, and Defenders of the Faith as one of Priest's definitive works. Embracing thrash metal as they never had before, they released a cutting-edge record full of just blistering songs, perfect production, and amazing guitar work from Tipton and Downing. Sadly, shortly after the tour, Rob Halford announced his departure from the band in an acrimonious split which left Priest high and dry up until 1997, while Halford launched on a career of solo bands including the semi-Pantera-esque Fight, with albums like 1993's Pantera-esque War of Words and the Sabbathy 1995 offering A Small Deadly Space. He went into a very anti-metal even saying so in the press and getting a huge backlash for it, band called Two, with an album called Voyeurs, until returning to his roots in 2000 with the Halford Band at albums like Resurrection and Crucible. Priest themselves enlisted Akron, Ohio native Tim Ripper Owens, a almost pitch-perfect clone of Halford, for records like Jugulator, Live Meltdown, and Demolition, but neither party really eclipsed any of their prior success, and a reunion was inevitable. 2004 saw a string of albums which included the Statement of Intent in Angel of Retribution, the concept album Nostradamus, and the anniversary set British Steel Live, commemorating 30 years of that record. Shortly after the release of that DVD set, in 2011, Priest announced their Epitaph Worldwide Farewell Tour. Unfortunately, guitarist and longtime and founding member K.K. Downing announced his retirement from the band, only to be replaced by hotshot Richie Faulkner. The band soldiered on, creating records like 2014's Not Half Bad Redeemer of Souls and several live offerings. Faulkner is a decent enough guitarist in his own right, but he is not K.K. Downing, and that has led to a diminishment of the quality of their recorded material. I'm not real fond of Redeemer of Souls, even though it has a couple of really good tracks on it, but that is besides the point right now. Priest have been in the music press quite a bit as of late, and is one of the primary motivating factors of why I'm recording this piece now instead of later on down the road. March 8th will see the release of the band's latest and possibly final, depends on who you talk to, album In Firepower. The title track and Lightning Strikes have been made publicly available, and I have heard four other tunes off the record, and it is darn good. The release of the album and the announcement of the subsequent tour have been marred by two sad occasions, one being the passing of drummer Dave Holland, who was with the band throughout their big heyday in the 80s, and despite what he came to later in life, he truly was instrumental in their success. More shocking was the announcement of guitarist Glenn Tipton stepping down from touring due to his revelation that he had been battling Parkinson's disease for the past decade. I had been suspicious something was very seriously wrong with Glenn during the Redeemer's Souls tour and interview phases. His actions and his body language were very, very different. Granted, the man is 70 years old, but it will be sad to see him not going on the road. His replacement was handpicked by Tipton himself, guitarist-producer Andy Sneap, who also had a hand in the production of Firepower. And while Priest going on the road is still good, without KK and Glenn, it's just not the same. Where does this leave them? We'll see what happens after the tour. But I am very, very, very convinced this is going to be the last one. They may continue to record, and Tipton himself has said he will have a hand in future albums, if any, and he has also promised to pop up on the road if his health allows. But at this stage in the game, and with so many rock legends gracefully bowing out, maybe it is indeed time for Priest to go. They are going out on a high with a fantastic album and Firepower, and I really hate to see it when bands dilute their legend and their catalog by just staying at the party too long, as Eddie Trunk would say. Comments, critiques, suggestions, drop me a line at ericbssh@gmail.com or look me up on Facebook under Eric Weister. I respond to both, but you'll catch me quicker on Facebook. Also, go take a look at my Blogspot page, the Weister's Halloween Haunt Journal, full of reviews, news, and who knows what else that you can use for this discriminating haunter among us all. Next time on the Vista, I'm not 100% sure, but a couple things are on the board, but it's very much pointing to a look at Kolchak the Night Stalker, the two films that launched the very troubled one-year 1974 TV series, which was so beloved and gave rise to things like The X-Files, and many, many others, a show which its influence is still felt even in today's television culture. So, until then, in 2 weeks' time, always remember Svengoolie's credo, brush your fangs, comb your face, drink your milk before it clots, bite Mama goodnight, hail the priest, and always remember that Jerry Vane hid my body after smacking me in the head with a shovel when I told him that I always thought Judas Priest was better than Kiss. Ooh, yeah. Hey, and on that uplifting note, see everybody in 2 weeks and take care until then. ¶¶
Reverend D-Ray and the Shockers, Zombie Cowboys, on the Big Scary Show.
Zombie Cowboys, you can see in their eyes. Zombie Cowboys, across the plains they ride.
First told me this story about five outlaws on the range, gunning hard from a posse, hot out of the Grange. They swore they'd bust hell wide open before they'd spend the night in jail. Five outlaws on the run, with the law hot on their tail. Sheriff almost had the boys outside of Jackson Hole, but they busted hell wide open and the devil got their soul. He sent them undead cowboys back out to ride the range. Gather souls for him out on the desert plain.
Zombie cowboys, you can see it in their eyes. Zombie cowboys, just watch them terrorize. Zombie cowboys, they come for your demise. Zombie cowboys, the place they ride.
was intense.
When the apocalypse comes.
When I was running, it completely dodged an entire crowd of nine.
Will you survive?
You gotta act quickly.
Z-Tag brings the undead to life.
If you take your time, it's gonna be too late.
In a real-world challenge.
Next thing you know, you turn around, there's zombies.
Of speed, agility, and survival.
This is an awesome birthday.
It's zombies against humans.
Buildings, it was mazes. They're jumping out of everywhere.
Wear your Z-Tag badge with its flashing LEDs and get into action.
It really felt like zombies were coming at you at the end when you see the red tags everywhere.
Hunt or be hunted. Take your pick.
It was a game you had to find.
Red light for zombies and green light for humans.
When you're like walking in and all of a sudden zombies come by.
Your survival instincts will be put to the ultimate test.
I would play Z-Tag again.
Do you have what it takes? Hashtag play Z-Tag.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following sponsors. Screamline Studios, Gantom Lighting, Dark Imaginings, Von Caron Productions, Haunt Pay, Necrotic Creations, Ticket Leap, and Creepy Collection. We would also like to thank Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse, as well as the Fordga hosts, including Storm, Rants and More, HauntMinute.com, The Unknown Scare Actor, Actor Trainer and Traveling Actor Troupe. For more information, check out MaulMonsters.com, that's MaulMonsters.com, Drew Badger, Actor Trainer and Consultant. Find out more at rabidbadger.org. And Jerry Vane, the Hauntstrumentalist, for all your heavy metal and haunt needs. JerryVane.com. And finally, you, the listener. Without you, we are nothing.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.